Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program and author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is marvelous Monday, December 5th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show was all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry, with the Chicken Whisperer fans, and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions. Once again, we thank you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do. Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, V-E-R-M-X-USA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks.
They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on this marvelous Monday, December 5th, and the chat room is slowly but surely filling up today on this marvelous Monday. Speaking of marvelous, it is now time to bring on my wonderful poultry advocate, extraordinaire herself, and don't forget, compost queen, the one, the only, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper, did you have a wonderful weekend? It seems like a long time since we've been on the show, and it's only been a weekend. How are you doing?
Had a very good weekend, yes, absolutely. Hope you have had a great weekend as too out there in the big over there on the left coast in California on the book tour. How's that going for you?
It's just amazing, Whisper. I wish you were here, truly. I've met so many absolutely incredible, awesome people that are so dedicated to local foods and their backyard flocks and just being green and living healthy. Even in the Bay Area, it's amazing how many community and backyard and the small gardens there are. So green is in out here in California. It's definitely way in. So yeah, I've been inspired. I've learned a lot. I've taught a course about every day. It's been really wonderful that way. But it's going great. Going to do one this afternoon, in fact. So I'm just headed down to, let's see, where am I going today? I'm going down to Moderna, California.
That sounds fabulous. That sounds fabulous. Living the life, the limousines and the Lear jets and the.
Well, Oprah Winfrey has her own little box. That's about as good as it gets here. And I gotta tell you, I never have used a Garmin before or a GPS. Do you have
right.
one? I bet you do, don't you?
Oh, no, my map. I have a handheld GPS. It's in the glove box, and it's called a map.
Yeah, a map and a highlighter. That's what I've been used to. But Marge Erickson lent me her GPS Garmin, and it has saved me. I got to tell you, I had no idea trying to drive by myself and then do the maps through Los Angeles or even the Bay Area where it's just a spaghetti kind of freeways. This thing, I've got so much respect for it. It's really gotten me places I don't think I could have gotten on my own, especially at night, because it's hard to see the street signs and almost anything at night. So I have new respect for GPS systems. If I were traveling all the time, I'd get one, but they're really, and they're so, I talked about this before, they're so non-judgmental. You know, if I really mess up and make the wrong turn, they just say, recalculating. So, no big deal. No one gets angry, you know. Yeah.
Gotta love it. Yeah, like I said, the one time I tried to use one, I about threw it out the window because it didn't get me to where I was going, and we got totally lost. So I was like, never again. I can use a map and not have to worry about some computer telling me where to go. So, I had a bad experience the first time, both Jen and I both.
Yeah. Well, there was one time it had me out in San Francisco Bay. It actually showed the car on blue, meaning out in the water. So I just rebooted its little mind. You know, like sometimes we got to go to sleep to reboot our own minds or just turn the computer off. And then she came back pretty good. So that was that's an interesting thing, too, to have it send you. You pull in someone's drive and it says, go 0.7 miles and turn left. You're sitting in their driveway. Oh, dear. Anyway, life is good. Marvelous Monday. Here we go. Hey, did you hear that the post office, the news about the post office?
Something about not delivering next day mail or first class mail or something?
Well, they're cutting the budget by $3 billion.
They need to do more than that. They're going to cut the budget $3 billion, but they went in debt last year $5 billion. So their numbers still don't add up, Pat.
Well, maybe it's $5 billion. I don't know. I remember being impressed with the B, but they're closing a lot of stations, and that is going to affect it's going to affect mail delivery by at least one day, first class, and it seems that Hallmark will start issuing happy belated birthday cards. You know, they'll be more popular now with the mail being slower.
Yeah, the ideal post office is one of the 3,700 that they've chosen to possibly close. And Jen and I actually attended a meeting. I guess it was the last day in November there at the old depot in Ideal regarding the. I'm gonna put you on mute, Pat, while I talk because I got horrible feedback. And so we attended that meeting and. It wasn't very productive at all. I think they just had to have the meetings to say they had the meetings to hear the people. But it sounded to me like their decision making process has already been made. It's a shame. We'll see. Maybe there's hope. They said if we write letters, all letters will be read, and then and all the ones written will be read, and we can they'll hear our voice. But they didn't sound too promising during the meeting. So yeah, we might lose our little Ideal post office. That'll be a shame. They gave us other ideas, like one of the two local stores could put in some PO boxes and things like that, and the local stores could still sell stamps, which you and I both know, if you buy stamps anywhere other than the post office, they're always a little bit more than the stamps you could get at the post office. So already the poor community, 89th poorest in the country, the county, and now they're having to pay more for stamps because the post office may be moving out. But I understand. I think fiscal responsibility. I think they wouldn't have to do all this if they were responsible fiscally, like our federal government should be. Just because you have checks left in the checkbook doesn't mean you have any money in the bank. And I think that's the philosophy that they're working on.
To do that, then they've just got to raise the postage stamps. I know in our post office box in Lexington, Virginia, they work so hard. I mean, they are just almost sprinting all day long. It's pretty impressive how hard they work. But all said and done, it's still better than the Pony Express. where you give a guy a saddlebag and he goes off and three, four months later it's delivered in California. So and of course now too, Whisper, we've got email and text messages and all these different ways to communicate. And I think that's been one of the things that's really decreased the amount of traffic that goes to the US Post Office. I don't send postcards or letters the way I used to, even Christmas cards. I send e-cards.
Yep, there's the e-cards, the email. Oh, I mean, I completely agree. So they just have to they're just going to have to adjust and do what they need to do, I think, fiscally to survive for everybody. So it's who knows?
We're all doing that. I mean, it's pretty much everybody. But
you get that right.
But I still got to say, media mail. I bet you found like in mailing your book out, and
right,
you know,
right.
Media mail is the best deal on the planet. It's like half of freight, and I think it's partly subsidized even. It can be so cheap. So there's still good aspects of it.
Subsidized, so you mean the taxpayer pays for me to mail my book?
Yeah, I guess that would probably be it. If anything subsidized, it comes down to taxpayers.
Let's call it what it is. Fancy names for taxpayer money. So I'm an advocate of that. Let's call it what it is. Oh, my goodness. So, hey, Pat, I want to, while it's on my mind, there'll be no radio show tomorrow. I thought for a moment yesterday that there was not going to be a show today. I completely forgot. It wasn't on the personal calendar, though I knew in my head. We are actually on the road. Jen has some training, continuing ed training with her company every other month, and it happens to be today and tomorrow. So we are up in Hotlanta, and we headed out yesterday. So I'm actually broadcasting live from Kennesaw, Georgia, just north of the Atlanta metro area. and broadcasting live from the Fairfield Inn here in Kennesaw. So so tomorrow, a little bit different. Today I worked it out to where I could broadcast live. Of course, we've got Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, on, so I definitely didn't want to miss today's show. But tomorrow there will be no radio show. I will be on the road again, and in fact, tomorrow I'll be stopping by the ManaPro Mill in Chambly, Georgia, to pick up some ManaPro goodies. And so no radio show tomorrow. We will resume on Wednesday, however, and we'll have a show Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So what we'll do is, regarding the secret passwords, like we've done in the past when we've had to miss shows, I will on Wednesday when we come back, I will issue the password for Tuesday, and of course, and Wednesday, and we'll post it we'll post it still on Tuesday. We'll post the password tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter, so you can pick it up there. So no worries there. We'll have a secret password sometime during the show today. Tomorrow I will issue it on Facebook and Twitter, and then Wednesday I will let people know what Tuesday's password was, and then have Wednesday's password as well. Because if you did not know, we are right smack dab in the middle of a wonderful end-of-the-year December chicken coop contest sponsored by MyPetChicken.com, the great folks Derek and Tracy over there. And let's see, we gave a chicken coop away in October. We didn't in November, but we're giving one away here in December. Someone's going to have just a fabulous, fabulous Christmas, because they're going to have a nice Christmas. Participate in that original recording. I think when I listen to that, I hear you in the background a little bit.
Yes, especially at the end. That was me going, eh.
But, somebody is going to get an awesome new chicken coop for December, and then we don't have one to give away in January, but we'll be giving a one in February. Every other month here, we're having awesome chicken coop contest. We've given away more coops than anybody on the planet, proud to say, because of our sponsors. So all you have to do is collect the secret passwords, in case we have any new listeners that aren't what's going on. We started this on Thursday, December the 1st, and we will have a password every day up to Wednesday, the 21st. We will issue a password Wednesday the 21st, and then on Thursday, December 22nd, we will announce the correct caller. If you are the correct caller and can recite, I believe it's 15, all 15 secret passwords, then guess what? You've won an awesome brand new chicken coop from our good friends at MyPetChicken.com. So very, very cool. Someone's going to have a great, great holiday season if they win that awesome chicken coop. So we've got that going on, but no show tomorrow regarding the password. We'll put it on Facebook, but we will resume back on Wednesday. So I wanted to get that announcement out there. And I'm trying to think if there's any other. We never have chickens in the news on Monday because we want to get right to Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of FirstStateVetSupply.com. Do you have any pertinent chickens in the news about maybe your tour, Pat, before we go to talk to the doc?
Oh, thanks, Whisper. I appreciate that. Yeah, the tour is unfolding pretty intensively, as usual. Let's see. Let me pull the... Well, let me just say this. I'm driving, Whisper, so I'm on my way to my next appointment. And I've got a radio. I'm going to be on the radio, the Farm Metro radio show this afternoon or sometime soon. And if you want to see the schedule, just go to SB, short for Santa Barbara, SBPermaculture.org, O-R-G, SBPermaculture.org, and they've got the whole schedule there. I know I'm going to be down in Los Angeles again. San Luis Obispo is day after tomorrow, and Fairview Gardens is going to do a three-hour workshop on the 10th, and then I head over to New Mexico and Arizona. So, and the 10th will be, I'll have to give the West Coast Oprah Winfrey back to her flock. I got to tell you, I can feel tearful already.
You know what I think you need to do, Pat? I think this would be a great photo op, is if there's any way you can get over to Las Vegas. Head over to Las Vegas, and here's why. Apparently, they have in Las Vegas a chicken that you can play tic-tac-toe against. And if you beat the chicken at tic-tac-toe, you win something like $25,000 or some just ridiculous amount like that.
So
it would be awesome to see you over there playing the chicken at tic-tac-toe, trying to win the big mammoth $25,000 prize. Can Pat beat a chicken at tic-tac-toe?
Well, I'd have to let Oprah go against chicken, I think. That would be the battle of the battle of the hens, you know, the competition of the ladies, but that's a hoot. Well, I did see in Petaluma, they have a chicken painted on this building with Coca-Cola right underneath it. Petaluma used to be the chicken capital of the world. They had more chickens than any place else, and apparently invented one of the first incubators that was there. So, but yeah, chickens are everywhere. Maybe someday we'll get that tour. You know, you can be in the bus, and I'll have my little private jet.
Yeah,
and we'll go to Las Vegas.
Hey, I know where I can get a great deal probably on a tour bus right now. In fact, it's probably available right now. They're probably willing to make a great deal on it, and that would be Herman Cain's tour bus, the former.
Oh. Yeah.
I bet
that's
there,
brutal, yeah.
I bet I could get a great deal on a tour bus right now. Let's contact Herman Cain's campaign manager and see if we can just go ahead and take the wrap off for that and put a big CW wrap on it. And
there you go. Absolutely.
And then we'll just start touring across the country.
I think that'd be great. You could do book signings, just line them up, and off you go. Teach, spread the poultry love and teach about chicken husbandry and how to put them to work.
There you go. I think that's a great plan. All righty, well, it's about 25 past the hour. We're going to go right over here to the phone lines right now, and we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines as well. And so we want to open the phone lines to you. If you have any type of chicken health-related question, any question for that matter regarding poultry, you want to give us a call right now. If you want to ask Peter Brown, the infamous chicken doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply, you can visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. The number is 347-637-3237. We're going to have a topic we're going to talk about if the phone lines don't light up. And, of course, you can post your questions in the chat room in all capitals. So go ahead if you have questions. Actually, instead of that, go ahead and just private message me in the chat room your question. So because it just scrolls so fast sometimes, I'll never get to see it. And then if I see it, I won't remember it. So instant message, private message me in the chat room your question if you want it read on the air, if you have a question for Peter Brown. But 347-637-3237 if you have a question for our good friend Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, we're going to bring on right now. Hello, Peter. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, Andy. How are you doing? Yep. Had a great weekend.
That's awesome. Good weekend. They're always great, but they're always a little too short.
Yeah.
as you know, Pat. But maybe who started this 5-day work week anyway? Who's got the history on that?
I've got the history on that, Whisper. It was Congress. And did you know that right after World War II, there was a bill to put the 4-day work week in because they were trying to enhance and increase combat unemployment? But Congress turned it down, so we could have had a 4-day work week.
See, I thought my father invented the 5-day work week.
Of course, you know, because if you're an entrepreneur and have your own business, there's no such thing as a 5-day work week. No one tells you when to start, and no one tells you when to stop. You just keep going all the time.
Like that. Yep. Sun up and sun down, and then my father was pretty strict on that. Very, very strict.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The only problem with owning your own business, though, or being an entrepreneur, is that five-day work week ends up being a 6 or 7-day work week, and the 8-hour day turns into a 16-hour day.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
I was on the other side of the bay here, actually. So where I live and work from, you can't get to the other side of the bay without going all the way up to one side of the bay to Annapolis and then just coming right back south down the other side, but you still can't get across the Chesapeake Bay down at the bottom to go where I needed to go.
Wow.
And, it was a work day, basically, but turned it into a little bit of work, a little bit of pleasure at the same time, and went down to we went below Solomon's Island a little ways down to a place called Leonardtown, Maryland, which is it's extreme southern Maryland, almost down to the very tip of Maryland, on the southern side, but you still can't get there from where I live. I always say that to people. I live in a place where you can't get there from here because you always have to go north to go south, which is always Earth-green. Well, you do.
You got to get your Learjet there, Peter, you know, so you can just hop in it or one of those little mobile things with the, what do they call, paraglide. Get a paraglide to get across the bay.
It's unbelievable. But so we went down there, and then we ended up at a seafood restaurant, sitting watching the sun go down basically on the water and over the bay, and had a good time, and, delivered the product as well. So, when you talk about owning your own business, I believe yesterday was Sunday. So it doesn't really matter what day of the week it is. It's whatever has to be done, you do it, and that's the way it is. If it turns out to be a 2-hour active work day or like Andy said, a 16-hour day.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
There have been more of the 16-hour days, I can tell you that. So.
Well, I can say for one, being me, I'm sure Pat, it would be two, and really the thousands of listeners out there in Radio Land and that listen to the podcast as well are chomping at the bit. We are ready for your book. You need to get chomping now.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, you.
You.
Okay. Well, I am making inroads on that, and I have just hooked up with an outfit here. Here's the problem. I'm chief cook and bottle washer. Okay, I got to sit and think about it. I've got to. My style of doing this has always been sit and think about it, then start putting down random thoughts on paper, and then the second phase of that is pulling it all together on the paper and making it make some sort of sense to at least me, and then going back through it, and then it gets into the computer. Well, the only one that can type it is me. And at two fingers, I can tell you, it doesn't take long to become very frustrated and very distracted at something else that's a hell of a lot easier from my perspective. So, but I've just hooked up with an outfit that will actually do the dictation part over the phone. I can call in from anywhere on my phone with a random thought or anything else, and they will present it back to me in a Word file that I can work with. So I'm hoping to speed the process up dramatically. We'll see.
I can't wait to read the chapter titled, I don't care what you say. I can hear it now. It's going to be a chapter called, I don't care what you say, that's wrong, but you say something that's so funny about different things. It says, if you think you cured this with penicillin, then you're wrong because it would never work in the first place. So there's got to be a chapter like that. If you think you cured it with penicillin, you're out of your mind because it wouldn't have worked in the first place.
Are you suggesting for a moment that I have a BS chapter?
Well, yeah, that's I think so, definitely. Which is, of course, bird saving chapter. BS is bird saving chapter.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yes,
I don't.
Bird saving.
I don't always mean to be so crass about some things I say, but I have a lot of time and energy vested in the things that I do, and it takes. You know, obviously, like I've said before, I don't know everything. Nobody does. But, you know, when you have the time and the energy invested in something like what I'm doing, it takes good, solid science to change my mind. And the hearsay, innuendo, nonsense, and everything else doesn't cut it. Just doesn't.
No, that's what everybody likes about you. It's some of the stories and, you know, when you say... I'm not going to attempt to imitate you, but, you know, I don't care if you do or you don't, but if you want to save your birds, you're going to, or some, you know, it's
yep.
just, we just, yep. we just love it.
Yep. You know, and it's not probably a business model that I would probably run around and try to sell somebody on. You won't find it at Walmart. But, you know, it's something that I do. It's a passion. I'm very passionate about what I do. I take it very seriously.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, basically, we'll extend a helping hand to almost anybody. You always have to reserve the almost because there's always somebody else.
Yeah, I was going to say, almost is a good thing. You know, I'm sure Peter, like with Whisper and I, some people want a little more of you than you want to give. It's like you just don't have either the time or the patience, and you gotta limit some things access.
Yep. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I deal with a lot of wonderful folks from all walks of life all around the world. I get people emailing me,
absolutely.
Asking questions, wanting information, and I gladly do it. I've let some fall through the cracks, unfortunately. That's the way it is. You know, for those who want to call in here and give me, you know, get advice from me, please don't give me the long 14-hour dissertation because it'll be deleted. I just don't have the time to sit and listen to, you know, it's comical.
Yeah.
I guess I actually should let it go on and just write a book from that. But but I understand their pain. I understand where they're coming from. You know, don't mean to be critical of everybody out there. I'm not. It's important. It's important to them. It's important to me. But just give me the long and short of it real quick. You got a sick bird and need my help, or you've had a bird or whatever that's been attacked and you need my help, and as soon as I can get to it, I'll get to it. But when I come in and there's, you know, 59 calls on the machine, I've got to listen to 5 minutes of everybody's, you know, diatribe. I don't have the time. And, you know, it's not meant to be rude or anything like that. I'll help, you know, as you well know, I'll help anybody.
You do. You're very generous with your time and with your answers and patience to keep telling us.
Oh, I don't always have those patience. I'm sure you can fish around out there right now and find some that's not happy with me, but that's the way it goes.
Well, you can't please everybody all the time. That's just not possible. But certainly you do have a lot of patience. And
what does that say when you know you've made it? You know you've made it when you start receiving hate mail.
And of course, Mae West would say that. Mae West would say there's no such thing as bad publicity. So.
Yeah, you know what I don't like. I'll tell you exactly, right quick, what I don't like, and I don't mind saying it, as you all probably know, but I hate it when somebody's got a bone to pick with me who doesn't have and for lack of a more crude word, I'll say guts. They sit down and they write a letter and have their wife write it. You can tell by the handwriting it's not by any male, either that or it's a cross-dresser, one or the other, okay? And that person takes you to task for a 50-cent item they claim was left out of a order, and they saw you at a show, and you totally dissed them on that 50 cents, and now they want to think that I'm not honest. But you don't even have the gumption and the guts to put your phone number and your whole name. You sign it with three initials, no return address. But I know who you are, because I know where it was mailed from, and I know exactly who you are. You can't hide. You can run, but
no
you can't
place to hide.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just so petty that it just makes me laugh. I just have a good time with it.
Well, let's. What topic did you pick out for us today, Doc?
Well, I got a couple of things I want to talk about.
Great.
I encountered a case of Favus, and we talked about Favus on the show one time or other, and. This disease it's fungal, very contagious. The party who emailed me very good pictures. It was quite obvious from the get-go what the problem was. So I thought, just for the heck of it, we'd touch on it here momentarily this afternoon and remind folks that it is out there. What you're going to see is a comb that was once reddish or pinkish, whatever color it may have been prior to the infection, but then it turns this grayish white. Looks like you just dunked their head in the flour, or they've had their head in your 5-pound Pillsbury flour jar, and it doesn't shake off, unfortunately. But it is contagious to humans. So I just want to touch on that again. You'll see it. Sometimes it can appear as just like I've described, the white flourish approach to it. Other times it'll have a more of a honeycomb approach to it. You'll see it looks like a crinkled paint, so to speak. That seems to happen more in a more advanced case. Bear in mind, this is contagious both to you in the external fashion on your skin, and it is also contagious to you internally. My advice to most people with a bird like this, it seems to be more and more common. I've dealt with quite a few cases here in the last couple of years. That may be because of the way we ship birds now, and we show and do all these other things that birds are getting around more and more. But I just wanted to bring it up and bring it out here and talk about it. May appear as some white powdery spots before you see the full-blown effect of it. This particular bird looked like it did have its head buried deep in the Pillsbury flower. And there were also some lesions in the mouth. The parties whose bird it was elected to put the bird down, which I think was a good choice. So just to show you, when this happened over the weekend, I attached to my return email to this individual the article that I've written on Favus, so they can make an informed decision on their own. And they felt, because of the fact that it spread so easily and is contagious to humans, that the best thing to do was to put the bird down. And then we went into prevention mode after that. How do we handle this now that everybody else in the flock has at least been around this bird and possibly been exposed? Weather permitting, the only thing you can really do is do a lot of house cleaning, get in that coop and clean out everything, feeders, waterers, nest boxes, get the litter out, wash the joint down, disinfect everything with your favorite disinfectant, whichever one it may be. If it's Clorox, fine. Something's better than nothing. And I believe this particular individual, I know this individual, and I'm sure they're going to take care of it in that fashion. But very tough disease to get. It is not as common as a lot of other diseases are, but it is out there, and we do seem to be getting more and more cases of it. predominantly we'll see this more in the southern U.S. where it's more humid and warm, more on a more year-round basis than we see it in the north. But we're starting to see it other places, I believe, because birds are shipped you know, from one place to another. And in the very beginning, I think what confuses people sometimes, birds who are well along in their laying cycle or have stopped laying eggs will go from a very nice bright red comb with a lot of this whitish-looking material that comes. Not heavy. It's a very light coating of a what would be a white material. We call it scurf. And I don't even know if anybody
calls it. How do you spell that, Peter?
Scurf, S-C-U-R-F.
S-C-U-R-F. And would you also spell the name of the, just spell out for my notes here, what this white powdery stuff is? Paluma? Is that what you said? Or
no, it's called Favus, F-A-V-U-S.
Favus, F-A-V as in Victor U-S.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
The organism that is the fungus that's responsible for it is Trichophyton gallinae. It's T-R-I-C-H-O.
Okay, and it is a fungus. So.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. Go ahead and spell that, please.
T-R-I-C-H-O-P-H-Y-T-O-N, and the T is capitalized, and then gallinae, G-A-L-L-I-N-A-E.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just as a little side note, the favus is a Latin term for honeycomb. And that's how this this appears. So that's how it got its name, through how it appears on the bird's comb. And generally the first place we'll see it is on the comb. Left unchecked, it can spread to the feathered parts of the body. And when it spreads to the feathered parts of the body, you've got trouble. Getting it cured at that point is extremely difficult. But let's assume that this happens to a rare bird or a very expensive bird or just one that's very important in somebody's breeding program. If you don't have anything on hand, I would treat it with any medication until you get a hold of somebody that can help you. There's a couple of things that I would treat it with. One would be if I had oxine on hand, I would do that. If I had Vercon S on hand, I would do that. If I had Clorox on hand, I would do that. Okay? Applied with a cotton ball directly to the affected area certainly will help either keep it from spreading or try to bring it under control a little bit. One of the other things that you can do until you get something else is that a 1-6 mixture or so, 1-5, really doesn't matter. What you could do is iodine, straight glycerin and iodine, and apply that liberally right to the affected area as well. If you're lucky enough to have a good relationship with a veterinarian or maybe even somebody like me that might have some of these things laying around, fluconazole tablets given orally or ketoconazole tablets given orally will do the trick in most cases. I did have a case earlier in the year out in California. These were game chickens, and they had a very severe case of it. And it took quite a while, but through proper bathing of the birds and the ketoconazole, fluconazole regimen, we were able to clean them up and fix them up. So
nice.
It is something you can get by with when you've got birds that are irreplaceable in your breeding program or just a bird that's just expensive or near and dear to your heart, whichever. The other thing you can do when you've got a situation like this, you can run to the pharmacy or any, I guess, Walmart or any one of those places you frequent and get a dandruff shampoo. A human dandruff shampoo called Nizoral. I believe it's N-I-Z-O-R-A-L.
Mm-hmm.
And it's its active ingredient in it is ketoconazole. It's a 1% solution of ketoconazole. Believe it or not, dandruff in humans in many cases is caused by a fungus. And so the ketoconazole, well, the Nizoral product, small bottle, run about $15 if my memory serves me correctly. But so those are some things you can do to reel this thing in if you should see it. Those folks who have lowered or impaired immune systems, people who are always sick, this would be a disease that would take residence with you probably pretty quickly. If you happen to be one of those folks that somebody sneezes and they're 100 feet from you and you still get sick, this would probably be something that would probably end up bothering you. So in my opinion, rather than treat a single bird, if the bird is not, near and dear to you, or a bird that is overly expensive or part of a primary breeding program, I would probably euthanize the bird humanely and then do a cleanup job and go with it from there. This can affect your chickens, other birds, humans, dogs, cats, and many other mammals as well. I've only seen it in chickens. I've never seen it. I've seen it in parrots too, but I've never seen it in humans, to my knowledge, dogs or cats.
A couple of questions in the chat room before I forget them. One was asking, is it primarily on the comb? Is it on the tips of the comb? Is it the comb and the head as well, like they truly stuck their head into a sack of flour? That's number one. And then number two, can you use a basic fungal cream from the drugstore to treat it?
The answer to the first question is yes. You probably will see it in spots, kind of this one that I worked on over the weekend was full blown, and by that I mean I don't believe there was an aspect of that comb that wasn't covered. And for obvious reasons, I'm not saying what kind of bird it was, and don't want to point at anybody or anything like that. And I wouldn't do that. But this was every angle of that comb was covered, and it's not a white. It's a kind of a off gray white, but it still looks like stuck their head in a flower. In the very beginning, you may just see it as a spot, one or two spots. It may be just on the tips. Most of the ones I've seen seem to start down by the base of the skull and work their way up. But it can come in any way, shape, or form like that. But this one over the weekend just looked like you had... almost like the comb had been dredged in some sort of liquid and you just stuck it in the flour and it was everywhere. Again, that's one of the reasons why they call it, favus, or honeycomb. It's been called white comb. And then obviously they call it, the name, the trichophyton gallinae, which I don't know why anybody want to call it that. But it can be... The smaller spots, and that would be something. I mean, look, most people know their birds. You go out every day and you look at them and you see them. If you've heard me say it before, and I know it takes time, but if you've got a flock and you're able to at least once a week, twice a week, pick up every bird in place and just handle it real quick, look at it, put it down, grab another one, and just give them a look-see. Doesn't hurt. You'd be surprised what you find. But what was the second question, Andy?
If they could just use an over-the-counter antifungal cream from the local drugstore.
Yeah, I would try anything. I don't have that much experience with those, but I do with the Nizoral. It works very well because we know that the ketoconazole. I would suspect that if you had a an antifungal cream that ended in zole, Z-O-L-E, it would probably do the job. Most of them are chemically related, like fluconazole and ketoconazole, kind of like almost the same thing in a sense, probably just a few chemical chains apart, or one attacks it in a little bit different way. But I would use anything I could get my hands on, and please, if you do come across this, folks, use some gloves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe even a one of these cheap throwaway 3M respirator type things, just to be careful. But
I'm not the only one out there. I know you're not a human MD, but you know, you said it can be transmitted to the human, to the chicken owner, the caretaker. Mm-hmm. It's running through my mind, probably many other listeners. What if we actually get this, or what's signs and symptoms, same treatments, visit the doctor, self-treat, is it deadly, is it something, if we can get this, is something to look out for us as well,
Only if it's amongst your birds, and that's another reason why I say pick them up, put them down, and examine them, get the bucket out, sit in the yard, and throw a treat or two around and bring them up to you. And you know, even if you don't have the time to pick them up, spend 15 minutes out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the best things. Now, as far as humans are concerned, it is will show up on your skin basically the same way it does on a chicken. Internally, what this does, it gets in the respiratory system, then you've got problems. It can be cured. It's not something you would go and start curing on your own. That much I do know, and yes, mm-hmm. I am not a human doctor by any stretch of the imagination, and I would just say that there will be more than likely some sort of lesions in your mouth. In a chicken, they appear as little white dots, and they grow from there. So it's something, you know, that you're not going to cure with rinsing your mouth out with mouthwash and that kind of thing, and the deeper it gets into your respiratory system, the tougher it's going to be to breathe. I don't know, what kind of lung damage it may do or anything like that. So, I bring it up because I ran across it, and I think it's important to point out to folks, you know, that these things are out there. The same I get asked all the time, why are we still testing for pleurum? You know, I haven't found pleurum in my birds in 20 years. Well, I understand that. But it is a disease that is so heinous and does so much damage before you realize what you have that and the only way of getting rid of it, there is no medication, there is no vaccination. The only way to get rid of it is to put everything down. So after, everybody has spent all this time and effort trying to keep it cleaned up and get rid of it, especially on the commercial side, you would understand it more on the commercial side if you understood buying grandparent breeding stock back when I was in the business. The birds were like $45 a piece. I have no clue what they are today, but I guarantee it's more than $45. And to have a flock like that of most of your breeder flocks are, 10, 15, 20,000 birds, and to put them all down because of something that could have been prevented. So, and it is still out there. People say, "Well, it's we've eradicated it." No, it's still out there. It's out there in pheasants. It's out there in some of your upland type wild birds and stuff. And I got this directly from one of the about 3 or 4 years ago. I got this from a tester down in North Carolina as I posed the question to him. I said, "Why don't they back off a little bit? Because down there at their shows." Unless you have all your paperwork and all your birds banded with numbers that are on your paperwork, they will retest all of your birds there. And they stay the whole weekend. If it's a Friday coop-in show and a show is on Saturday, let you go on Sunday, they stay right there, and they walk those aisles. And if they see a sick bird, they want you to take it out. And So I did pose the question, and he said they're still finding it in the wild birds. What's the other one too? Besides the some quail, some pheasant, and I just can't remember the other one right at the top of my head right this second, but I'll think of it. Guinea hens. So it is out there, and that's why we do it. A lot of people think it's not just because somebody wants to be mean and ugly and everything else. Not this time. There are other times I believe it. I believe the avian influenza thing is the biggest bunch of hooey going, but Don't get me started on that one.
any questions or comments, Pat, up to this point?
No, that's really interesting. I didn't realize FIFO was such a contagious thing. That's one of the few ones that's contagious to people, then, isn't it,
isn't
it, Peter?
Yes, it is.
One of the questions I had, Peter, is if it's a fungal infection, what do you think about just having a mild, take some petrol ottoman and add a little bit of sulfur to it that would lower the pH and it would gunk up the fungus on its comb? Have you ever tried that or think that would work?
I never have, but I would say that it probably should work. Again, I'll go back and say, anything that works to take something like this and nip it in the bud real quick, the better off you are. And I don't care what it is, as long as obviously it doesn't hurt the bird.
I know it works on ringworm, which is a fungal infection.
Yeah,
so
it very well may.
Is it's so easy to do and it's so cheap and it's so readily available.
Evidently, this particular case of Favus that we just recently dealt with must have come on very quickly. I know this person. I know they're diligent and they do a good job. And again, it was only one bird. But the person happens to be nervous about it now, and I understand that. I told the folks what to do when I was asked and what to use and so on, and I'm sure they'll follow something along those lines. It's a tough one, and there's a few that are transmittable to humans. E. coli, one we don't see in chickens anymore. I haven't seen it since laboratory days, but it would be erysipelas. We don't see it so much in turkeys either. Bacterial deal. Leptospirosis, you can get that from just drinking water that's been infected with droppings or urine from wild animals that are infected with it. Just because the creek water looks good and it's running fast doesn't mean it's clean.
That's true. That's very true.
At any rate, for those people who are big fans of drinking raw milk from the cow, you need to be careful too. We've almost eradicated it in this country as far as the dairy herds are concerned, but there is a problem called brucellosis that dairy cattle get, and one of the biggest problems it comes from. Deer. So you get deer jumping the fence and mingling with the cows, and that's how it perpetuates itself. But that's a problem that's contagious to humans from your fresh unadulterated milk. And it's just something that you need to be careful of if you drink fresh milk. I think if you know where your source is, you're probably pretty good to go.
Yeah, that's really good advice, Peter. I have a cow share and get raw milk and make my own butter often, and it is something to keep aware of, that it is a living food. It's a live culture.
Yeah, and see, even in the cow herd, it causes spontaneous abortion and can do so in humans. So I mean, it is something to be careful of. I wouldn't say that because of it, those who are interested in, drinking the raw milk should shy away from it at all.
I haven't heard of a case of brucellosis, though, in decades. Have you, Peter? I mean, you actually heard of a live case of it?
No, I haven't heard of it in quite some time. That doesn't mean it isn't there because you didn't hear of it. I don't know if all of the herds in the United States are certified brucellosis-free. I would imagine they have to be, but I don't know when the last case. It'll be interesting to see. I'm not overly interested in it, the brucellosis, to be honest with you. It was I went to school as a dairy cattle major to start with, and that's how I know about it. I'm almost sure in my mind that there was and may still be a testing program for it, because see, again, that's something that's detrimental to them. It may not seem like a big deal, but you know, when a cow is bred, they're looking for that calf to replace somebody in the herd, hopefully, unless it's a bull. So,
right.
You know, having it spontaneously abort out in the field is not something you want, especially if it's going to be a female. So, just something else to ponder.
As always, hey, it's 1 o'clock, top of the hour. We're going to take a short commercial break to honor our sponsors. If you're just tuning in, we have Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor and founder of FirstStateVetSupply.com, FirstStateVetSupply.com, and we have a couple of topics we're talking about today. And if you would like, we're taking your calls 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Or if you're in the chat room, you can private message or instant message me your question, and we'll try to get that on the air as well. So we'll return right after this short break from our sponsors. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams,
Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Today is Monday. We're talking with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor and founder of First State Vet Supply, firststatevetsupply.com. And I've got a little co-host here that's wanting to be kind of vocal. So like I posted in the chat room, Jen is in training, so it's me and the little man. We're holding the fort down here on the radio show. So a little babbling in the background. Hopefully y'all can you can deal with that. And if little Caleb has to babble a question out, then we'll make sure we get it to Peter Brown. I was sent one here in the chat room. Actually, if I can get her to send it one more time, I had to refresh my chat room box, and so if she can send it one more time to me, that would be greatly appreciated. I think it was from Kim Rocha there in the chat room. If you could send that to me, private message one more time, I apologize. I had to reboot my chat, and then, of course, that eliminated the private message that you sent me. Also, if you're listening in radio world and want to ask your question on the air, 347-637. 347-637-3237. And let's see, while Kim's actually maybe copying and paste that or retyping it, I apologize for that, Kim. Just send it over to me and I'll get it on the air today. We will continue on with...
I've had a question come up quite a bit.
Sure.
In just about every talk. If I can go ahead and ask that.
Please do.
Peter... Yeah, people are coming up and saying they've had chickens for a long time. They know that they decrease the number of eggs that they lay in the winter, but the hens have totally stopped. And even my flock, I noticed it seems like it's way, way low from what it used to be, even around the winter solstice. Have you had any comments or any questions about the hens actually stopping eggs in the winter?
Because it is genetic. To start with, the whole process of a bird laying eggs is genetically controlled by turning on and off certain hormones within the bird's system.
Right.
For instance, there is a hormone called inhibin. You might have heard me mention it on here once or twice. In the past, and inhibin is along with another hormone called activin. The amount of these things, it's difficult to explain it, but I'll just tell you, it's the amount of these things that are secreted by the bird's pituitary gland will control the follicle-stimulating hormone to release ovums. So the more that the inhibin plays a role in this process, the fewer and fewer ovums will be ovulated. Okay?
Right, but some of the people are saying that they've had chickens for ages and ages, and they know that they get a few eggs. They know not to expect large numbers. But in many cases, and it's come up enough that I've gone, well, there's none. I mean, just no eggs being laid. And then
again,
we talk about winter layers and that sort of thing.
It is a situation that is controlled by genetics for the most part. The amount of these hormones that are exhibited by the bird will control how many eggs they're going to lay in a given period of time.
Right. Uh-huh.
So with that in mind, we also have the photoperiod in the brain with stimulating light. It's a combination of things to stimulate the brain, to kick it into gear, to lay eggs. And this time of the year, it is not, you know, the time of the year when we expect that during the normal lighting hours. That's why we use artificial light. There are a number of things: the age of the bird, the breed of the bird. You know, where you got your birds from, because you know, one.
Right.
One,
well, one of the things, Peter, that was brought up that kind of gave me great pause, I almost, is that there's so many plastics that are used now for bird feeders, for waters, for tubing, even in bags they're plastic, that maybe there's a phthalate factor, a little endocrine disruptor that's coming into the chickens. And I had no response for that. It was like, oh, my gosh. And
I will say this to you. Poppycock, nonsense, boulder dash. and let me explain why. If that were the case, okay, then the commercial poultry industry would be in big trouble. All of their water lines are plastic. If they're using a water cup, it's plastic. If they're using a nipple drinker, it's plastic.
And it's flexible plastic, which is what the phthalates do.
You know, I mean, you know, is it possible in a particular bird that something like this? Sure it is. I mean, there are no absolutes in anything, other than the fact that we all know we're going to croak someday. But the point of the matter is that I don't think that those things have a whole lot of impact on the birds. I really don't. Just because of the fact of so much plastic being used on the commercial side. If they thought for a moment that that was affecting their egg production, that stuff would be out of there. It just would be.
If they think about it. But anyway, that was just brought up. I wanted to run it by you to get your opinion.
They think about it more than you think about it, believe me.
I hope so.
You know,
because I haven't thought about it before.
It's the amount of, you know, they're trying to squeeze every egg they can get out of every bird in those coops. You know, I've been in that business. I've seen it. I know how it works. You know, I just don't see it.
Okay.
You know, even a lot of the things that are espoused on the human side. I've been eating soup out of a can since I was a damn kid, and continue to do so. And I couldn't tell you BPA from BPS. Don't know. Don't care. Show me the solid science behind any of it. That's not hooey science. That isn't taken off the internet and extrapolated by some idiot that doesn't know what they're talking about. And then maybe I'll have something to say about it. But in all honesty, really, good solid science. If you got good solid science from a reputable source, you know, I'm up for that. But I don't see it. I've not seen it. If somebody has, send it to me. I'll take a look at it. But everybody has an axe to grind. Did you ever think about it? If all the people had all these axes to grind out here that are, whether it be animal rights people all the way down to these other people, they'd be out of a job. They have to find something somewhere to keep their gig going. You know, it's just the way it is. I mean, I've never seen so much negativism about, here, look at this. People, you go all over the internet, and I don't care where you go. Everybody wants to eat organic. Fine, if that's your gig, do it. I don't care. But here's the other thing. When the birds get sick, then they want to medicate them. What the hell? I mean, what's the difference here? This is crazy. And then you want to turn around and you put your finger on the government. You say, "Wow, like bad government." Yeah, but the bad government's telling you what to do, and then you turn around and you ask them what to do. You get my drift. Don't get me wrong. I'm no friend of government. Trust me.
Well, you're so subtle. I love the way about how you bring your opinion across. That's really great.
I will admit that I have a tough time with bullcrap. I just do. And whether it was from my children when they were growing up or when I worked for my father or whoever else, college, same thing. Okay? I mean, when they give me a bunch of nonsense and I knew better, I would tell them so. If they didn't like it, it was too bad. I did the same thing when I was in the military. I did the same thing. Okay? And I just, it's just me, and I have a difficult time sometimes being subtle about it. I admit that.
hey, Doc, Bud Rock in the chat room, longtime listener, he says, oh, I wish for the day that Doc will one day tell us how he really feels.
I know. He's so controlled and inhibited.
Just keep this in mind. Just to keep this in mind, okay? And this is just me talking. You are not going to die from the arsenic that's in your meat or your eggs or anything else. You are not going to die from the BPA, BPS, BPU, whatever is in your soup can. You have a bigger chance of dying walking across the darn street. You have a bigger chance of being in an automobile accident than dying from any of these things. Now, it is a different story if you feel that you have to keep all of these things out of your life. Okay, I'm up for that. That's okay. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, show me some reasonable science by a well-respected expert in the field, not some guy that just dreamt up some stuff. And there are a whole lot of them out there. I mean, it's just a whole lot of them. Just show me where it is, and then you might have something with it. But in answer to your question, Pat, we got way off the thing. I don't think so. Is it possible? Sure.
Well, actually, no, the real question was, back to the topic, Peter, was about the significant number of winter eggs from people that have had chickens for years and years, and even they think it seems like it's less than it has been before. And they've been asking me, what is it? Is it something in the feed? Is it something different with it? They're just wondering what's different from what was before. And my flock, I've wondered the same thing, Peter.
Yeah, and I will tell you what I think. As if you didn't know
please.
That. It very well could be the fact that we have taken animal fat out of feed.
Ah.
It may be that the protein that's provided by other sources, mostly vegetable, are just not up for the trick.
Interesting. Now that's the kind of answer I thought you'd come up with for me.
Well,
so we're saying that if we start giving our flock some lard, maybe put a little lard in their kibble or in their mash,
a lot of people are hunters and don't eat certain portions of the deer or whatever, or have excess deer meat. Cook it, grind it up, give it to them a little bit. A little bit at a time isn't going to hurt them.
Well, I'll see about that. I'm going to start as soon as I get back home and get my flock. I'm going to start giving them a little and track the eggs and see if that little bit of extra sterols or lard or butter or whatever.
You know,
I know not butter because they can't digest, but they do like it.
You know, let me just say this to you, and I don't mean to belittle anybody across the radio network or radio land anywhere in the world, but you know sometimes people will remember things differently about their childhood. Do you ever get together with family and start talking about, you know, the good old days, you know, especially when you're up in age and you start talking. I had an uncle, I swear to God, he wrecked more cars than you got hair on your head, but not he wouldn't tell it that way. It was always, you know, somebody else or something happened or, you know, but he was the only one. You get my drift? I mean, when people have a tendency to tell things, they don't always include all the little things about, I used to have so many chickens and, yeah, well, they laid sporadically, yeah, and now I've got some don't lay at all, and it's always something along those lines. And not saying it doesn't happen, it does, and it usually happens for a purpose. But majority of the time, it's a genetic thing. That's really what controls it. Lighting does help and control it. But you can put all the light you want on a bird that's shut down because of the abundance of inhibin being produced in its system, and it's not going to have anything but a sunny day. That's all it's going to have. It's not going to go back and start laying those eggs until its system starts telling it to, to produce. Do these people tell you how old these birds are?
Well, I know in my flock I have a mixed breed, mixed ages, of course, and I've got about 35 birds and just getting, and some of them are young and some of them are point of lay. So it seemed a little off.
I think
in
actually,
my flock.
You know what? I think I have the solution there. Not the solution, but the cause. I think that was Bush's fault.
OSHA.
Bush, yeah, I think it was Bush's fault.
Let's blame it on Bush.
When he was in presidency, yeah, it was Bush's fault. Let's blame it on Bush.
I'm not getting political because I think they all stink. You know that, but I'm telling
Amen.
You, I'm telling you right now, they blamed it all on Bush during when gas was $2.80 a gallon. So where are we at now, huh?
Oh, I love it. Hey, but really, I mean, it could be moon phases this year. I mean, if it's across the board, it could be a moon phase or the gravitational pull this year from the moon to the oceans or who, man, it's crazy. But Pat, do some research on it and get back to us.
Well, I know there is a full eclipse of the total eclipse of the full moon coming up this full moon. So for those who are into eclipses,
okay.
See if that affects egg production, please.
I've got to get this. I've got to get this question out. I promised Kim, and says one of my girls just finished a month of broodiness, and is now molting. She is feeling a lot thinner and lighter, but is acting fine. I want to fatten her up a little bit. What would be good foods or supplements to help her gain some weight safely?
That is a good question. I would for the most part, if she's molting, I would probably put her back for a while anyway on a non-medicated starter, a little bit higher protein. I don't think it's going to hurt her. I would not want to put her on something that's got a high calcium level in it. That could affect the eggs and the eggshells that she'll produce after she comes out of molt. Some vitamins, electrolytes in the water every other day. You don't want to do it every day because of the salt content. But things like that. If you want to give her a tablespoon or so of hamburger meat cooked and take the fat from the hamburger and put it back over the top of the meat and let her have it, I think that would be okay as well. But not a whole lot. I mean, if the bird were really, if you look at it, if she were out in the wild, you know, they really wouldn't have access to all these other things. There isn't a whole lot. Leave her alone as long as she's healthy. Don't forget that during the molt, a bird is supposed to regress weight-wise. Okay? They are supposed to regress weight-wise almost to the weight they were when they were a pullet. That's the whole idea behind it, because too much weight on a bird is detrimental to the bird laying a good egg from a strong oviduct with a good sphincter muscle that's controlling the opening. This is part of the reason sometimes where we get salpingitis, which is the infection of that oviduct. Okay, so you just want to be careful, and she doesn't need a whole lot. But, you know, with winter coming on and everything else, I don't think for several weeks it would hurt to give her some non-medicated starter, rather. And if you don't want to go through that, then about a tablespoon or so of hamburger meat cooked thoroughly, but put the fat back on it for, I think that's pretty good.
That sounds great. She sent me a message. She said, oh, she's going to absolutely love the hamburger meat.
They usually do. They usually do. And it's something that they'll enjoy and it'll be good for them. The fat will be the right kinds of fat. You know, next time around, you know, we can talk about laying. As a matter of fact, it's something that I think we should delve into. And what I'll do, we can go into all of the things that and the signs and symptoms you can look for to tell if a bird is either getting ready to lay. You can tell by looking at a bird after looking at it for a while and studying them. You can tell roughly where they are in their lay cycle. This all has to do with the shape of the vent, the feel and texture of the comb, the loss of pigmentation from the feet, the legs, the beak, so on. So, you know, all of these things we can go over them and talk about laying, not laying, and so on. To get back to the question that Pat had about birds, you know, not laying eggs, there can be some underlying health issues besides the genetic effect of it. If you'll remember, the product's no longer available on the market, but you can make your own. And this goes again to medicating birds. But if you do it before they really start to lay, for whatever reason, it seems to be that fine line. Terramycin egg formula, you all remember that. It used to be available in the store, and you used to, you know, you put a tablespoon or whatever it was, or a teaspoon in a gallon of water and give it to them, and voila, the birds light up. They start laying eggs like crazy. You can do the same thing by taking a bag of Oxytet that has about 102 grams of Oxytet in it, put it in a bottle, and that should be about 140 grams, which is a little over 3 ounces, I believe, 30 grams to the ounce. And then take the balance of it and take your favorite vitamin electrolyte compound and bring that up to a pound total, and then shake it up real good and give them about a teaspoon in a gallon of water and see if that doesn't light a fire under them.
Peter, did you just say that you could get birds to lay by giving them an antibiotic, terramycin?
Oh, sure. Always has been. Yeah.
Always has been. So that
was
so weird.
Terramycin X formula was taken off the market probably due to lack of use and lack of understanding not to give it to birds in production. That's the, again, we go back to that, our favorite issue, when do you eat the eggs after you have medicated your birds? We've been down that road so many times, but I'm working on trying.
And we still haven't found an answer going down that road.
I'm still working on that. I hope to have an answer by sometime in the spring from a reliable.
Really?
Yep, I'm working on it.
Wow,
and,
awesome. You go, guy.
I'm just trying to juggle all the little things that I do and keep on top of things, but we hope to have some sort of answer, whether it be the right one or the wrong one, and we intend to get that directly from the Food and Drug Administration itself. So we're working on it.
Awesome.
Let me go ahead and pop in here and say this: today's secret password is egg. Today's secret password for the chicken coop contest is egg. So there you have it. It'll also be posted on Facebook and Twitter. And we've got less than 90 seconds. So what an awesome show. It was kind of all over the place there for a little bit, but it was awesome. It was all a learning process and raised a lot of eyebrows and very, very, very interesting. So as always, thank you very much for joining us. Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, and Pat as well, with your on the book tour out there in California. So 60 seconds left, so thank you very much, Doc, for joining us. And Pat, I'm going to go ahead and let you take it away.
No show tomorrow.
No show tomorrow, correct, yes, but we'll be back on Wednesday, so take it away.
Okay, of course. Well, as always, thanks to Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, for joining us today and answering all these questions. Our chat room chickeneers are absolutely the fabulous in the world. Thank you for clocking in as well. And, of course, blogtalkradio.com provides our radio, chat, and video services. Andy Schneider is the Chicken Whisperer, the creator of the show. And, Andy, thank you for bringing us all together. I'm Pat Foreman, and from all of us, from absolutely all of us, may the flock be with you. Quote the chicken evermore. God bless everybody.